And I've already messed up this morning. Can everybody hear me?
You can never mess up.
I've forgotten and asked any prayer requests. I just took it on. So if anybody has asked to remember someone this week. Yes, we need it. We all need it. Let's pray one minute for another. It's good to be back with you, and thank you, Michael. You've got two jobs this morning. Keep me straight and the program. So, this morning, I'll be reading, but let me read something. Since it's almost Thanksgiving, and this is cute, and this is a reminder of how many times I'm not going to overdo, I'm not going to eat too much, I'm going to not pig out. But we do. But this is a little story about a little boy about Thanksgiving. I don't believe in eating much of turkey, pumpkin pie, and such. It makes you dream bad dreams at night. And then, besides, it's not polite. So I'm not going to stuff and act like I can't eat too. For me, a turkey leg would do with just a slice of breast or two, some liver and wings, and lots of dressing. That's the thing. Mashed potatoes to make me grow, squash and cabbage, they are fine, you know. I must have some cranberries too. And layer cake, two pieces would do. Then a pumpkin pie. One piece, because I'm a little fellow. With nuts and apples, I sure quit and not ask for another bite. Then, good, the doctor said, to eat too much for Thanksgiving Day. I thought that was cute. I've had this for years and years and years and years ago. Back in, I think, in 1970, and I always get it out for Thanksgiving to read it to Tom. My text this morning would be, nobody's got a paintbrush, do they, this morning? Paint attitude is our paintbrush. So this morning, get your paintbrush ready, and let's change some of our attitudes and our actions. We are God's people, God's children. Philippians, this is one of my... I left the whole book of Philippians. Philippians 2, 1 through 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort or love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Now turn over to 4. Beginning with 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayers and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. And last, 5th Romans, verse. Starting with verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father God, as we come again, O God, lifting you up as Lord of lords and our King of kings and our soon coming King. Lord, I pray, O God, for you to let's open our minds and open our hearts and our souls and our ears, and let us hear thy holy word. And Lord Jesus, bless the people and bless thy servants, and help us, O God, to understand your word more. Give us wisdom and knowledge of your holy word, and help us always to rightly divide thy word. And Lord, help us to rejoice in thee for always. In Jesus' name, amen. My attitude of gratitude. Sometimes we get so busy that we forget and thank people. Sometimes we don't feel like it. I know, but when I go to Walmart, I try my very best to say thank you to the clerk. You don't know what kind of day they're having, and a thank you goes a long ways. So let's remember to always give God the thanksgiving and praise and the gratitude. We come into this world, and I've got 7 points this morning I want to make. I'm going to try to go by my outline here. We come into this world crying. We are needy people and selfish people, and when a baby cries, they want your attention right now. Their needs is demand. Hold me, feed me, burp me, rock me, sing to me, and do it right now. You can't wait with a child, with a baby. They want it done right now. And some of us today, we want things done today, right now. Not tomorrow, but now. The first thing we taught, or I did, I taught my children to say thank you. I give them a cookie, and I won't give them a cookie until they say thank you, Mom. And that's how you teach your children, just to say thank you. There was in a story in the Bible tells us that 10 men with leprosy came to Jesus. They cried out for Jesus to heal them. Well, all 10 came to Jesus, and Jesus touched them and healed them. You know the story. And only one out of 10 came back to thank Jesus for healing them. So you see that how many? 10, and only one came back. And he was a Samaritan. Let us give thanks unto the Lord always. In bad times and good times, make someone else feel better. When you say thank you, it makes someone smile or give them a good day. 2, an attitude of compassion. In Mark 5:24-26, the woman, there was a woman with an issue of blood, and she spent all she had on physicians, and they couldn't help her. She was dying. And someone, church, told her about Jesus. Have you told someone about Jesus this week? Think about it. The attitude of compassion. The woman spent all she had, but someone told her about Jesus. And she has so much faith. She said, if I only can touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And there was so a crowd of people there that was pressing Jesus to be made whole. She got down on her knees, and she crawled. And she reached out and touched the hem of his garment, and she was made whole. And about that time, Jesus said, who touched me? Who touched me? And the disciples said, well, Lord, we don't know. And he said, I have never seen so much faith. The faith, your faith, had made you whole. Let us put our faith into action. Let us put our thanksgiving into action. And let us have compassion upon one another. I pray every day, Lord, give me more love and give me more compassion for others. Sometimes we have to go through some sickness before we can feel compassion for that, for the other person. That's why we have mountains to climb and valleys. We learn something from our experience. The attitude of love, Jesus left one commandment, one life's commandment, to one love one another and to love thy neighbor as thyself. Who is your neighbor? This whole universe, this whole world, wherever we go, that's your neighbor. So pray for them and have compassion upon them as Jesus. An attitude of love. We know that this world is full of hate. I picked up the paper, I think, yesterday for somewhere in California that a 16-year-old boy, if I'm not mistaken, shot children, I don't know how many, but I've forgotten. But a shooting took place there in California High School. Hate crime in Mexico. In Mexico, that was a hate crime there. This world is full of hate. We are Christians people. We need to show our love. We need to put that love and that compassion in our life, in action. And there's been a couple of years ago I read a story about a little boy. And he asked his dad, Dad, I want a puppy. And so the dad said, let's go get a puppy. And they went to the pet shop and looked around for a puppy. And he said, I want that one. And that manager from the clerk said, you don't want that puppy. Well, he was born with something wrong with his legs. He can't run and play. You need someone that can run and play with you. And a little boy just held up his picture legs and showed the manager that he had braces. And just that puppy needed love, needed compassion. What love of a 7-year-old boy. He had compassion and love. Now surely we can show love and compassion towards others. When my children was so small, I take them, I say, I love you this much. And I know of a man that reached out his hands, his arms, and said, I love you this much, and died upon the cross for our sins. He showed love, compassion, and mercy, and he gave us life, everlasting life. We need to show love, compassion, and mercy to one another and to those that we come in contact with. Sometimes we get too busy. We need to slow up. I was coming out anymore. I'm in a fast speed when I go out. I've got to get back. So sometimes we have to stop and wait upon the Lord and hear his voice. I was in Walmart a couple weeks ago, and I wasn't feeling good. I had a bad day. Nobody has a bad day here. We all have bad days. Amen, church?
Amen.
I got it. And I was putting my, I got my prescription, and ran to pick up a few things, and I said, I want to get out of here. I don't want to be here. I want to get out. And then something inside of me said, slow up. Be sure to show your mercy and your love and friendship to someone today. And I thank her, and I thank her, and I thank her for her help. And then I said, you have a blessed, blessed day. So I took time. It took God to show me that I had a bad attitude that that day. So we all have bad attitudes. That's why we got to take our paintbrush and paint good attitudes in us and change our ways. We are God's children. Attitude of forgiveness. I've heard this all my life. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. How many of us are guilty of that? I'll get even. That's the wrong attitude. Attitude you must forget and forget. I have evangelized. I had listened to so many problems. I've counseled. I've been a pastor. I've heard a whole lot of complaints. And something that hurt me the most was that the people that came to me said that the people of the family of God has hurt me more than anyone else. Shame on us. Amen? Oh, nobody amen me on that one. So let's be careful what we say and do in God's house and on outside his house. Let's forgive and forget and live in love and in one accord and harmony. Attitude is the fourth one. Attitude of kindness. The Bible teaches us to be kind one to another. Our words are powerful. Don't use our word to... our words that comes out of our lips can tear down or build up. It's poison. It can kill someone. You can ruin somebody's reputation with the words that come out of our lips. Season our speech, O Lord, with salt to taste this right to others. An attitude of kindness. Let's use words to build up and not to tear down. This world that we live in, we need to build one another up. We have mountains to climb, valleys to walk. And sometimes I say, I can't. I just can't make it. But something in me said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And there's nothing impossible that God can do. When we say it's impossible, God is greater. Greater than any problems, any situation, any sickness, any troubles that you have. Attitude of surrender. Boy, it's hard for us to say, Lord, here I am. I surrender all. Do you really mean it down in your heart and soul? Lord, here I am. I surrender all to thee. Lord, I don't know what to do in this situation I'm in. It's too big of a problem. I give it to you. How many times you give it to God, but you take it back up? How many of us are guilty of that? We pick our problems back up and don't leave it, and we mess up. Amen? Amen. Amen. I got you going here a little bit anyway. Surrender all, give everything to God, and let Him work within us. And I cannot change you. I cannot change this world. But only God can change this world. Only God can change you and I. And God's working on me also. We need to work on our attitudes. As long as we live, we'll always have to work on our salvation and work on our attitudes. The sixth one is attitude of determination. Be determined to be Christ-like. We need to walk in Jesus' footprints and footsteps. God has given us all a work to do. We all are servants of God. Let us do the best we can. There's nothing too big and there's nothing too small that we can do. The task is up to us. We need to put our work together to be like Jesus. Sometimes our mountains get so high, but I'm determined, and I hope that we get an attitude of determination that we are going to climb that mountain. I don't know how many of you remember that little story that you probably read to your children, or you told it to the children in school about a little red train. Do you all remember the little red train? Mm-hmm. And I'll say, and this happened to me last week. It came to me. I was complaining to myself. And the little red train was going up the mountain. I can. I know I can. I know I can. And the little red train huffed and puffed till he made it to the top of the mountain. So when you get down and out, and that mountain and the situation you're in seems impossible, but there's nothing impossible with God. He'll make a way for you, and He'll give you the strength, and He'll give you the power, and He'll give you the grace. And I pray for grace. Apostle Paul, he prayed 3 times for that thorn to be removed. And God said, "My grace is sufficient." Well, God knows God's grace is sufficient. But I'm asking, I said, God, I need more. I need more grace than I've ever needed before, Lord Jesus. And number 7, the attitude of working together. Now, working together in love and in one accord. Now, if these two walls would be pulling out away from this, what would happen? Fall down, it would go bang. But if we work together in a foundation, are you on a solid foundation? Are you on that rock, Jesus Christ? If we are on, then we can come together in one accord, no confusion. Satan, it's his job to plant confusion in the church, in our meetings, and say hurtful words to one another to get us pulling away from one another. But let us come and say, Satan, get out of my house, get out of your church, because God said, I have built my church upon the rock, and the gates of hell shall not come against it. So let's get on the solid rock, Jesus Christ, and let us work together in one accord. Us don't be fighting and saying bad words and confusion in our churches, but let us come in love and work together. And in everything, bad or good, in everything, give thanks unto the Lord. Be thankful. That rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, in everything, give thanks. How can you rejoice when you're going through a storm? How can you rejoice when you're in pain? I can rejoice in the Lord, not because I'm sick, not because I've got a problem, a situation, because Jesus Christ is my helper and is my Lord and my Savior. There's a story that John Newton, he wrote that song, Amazing Grace. And as he got older, he couldn't remember. But he told someone, he said, one thing I know for sure. I don't remember too much, but I know I am a sinner. And I know I need the Lord and I need a Savior. I thought that was beautiful. And that Amazing Grace, oh, how sweet it is. It's the most beautiful song. Amazing Grace, I thank God, and I can rejoice because of Amazing Grace that saves us completely, that we can leave everything and rejoice and praise God forever and ever, and in every deed and everything, give thanks unto the Lord. Amen.